If you have stuff of yours in the pews, it's going to be moved. So you may want to move it yourself. Now, this happens every time we have VBS, funeral, youth focus, any activity, and it's nothing against you personally. They move my stuff too, okay? It's just that things get shifted around, and we all have our favorite little pew that we go to, but we don't own the pew, and it's very important to understand that. And this auditorium gets used for different things, and so again, if you don't want your stuff moved by somebody else, you may want to move it as soon as services is over, because we're going to go through and everything, because we got to set up for where the kids are going to be sitting. So just letting you know. Also, we're going to be having adult Bible class all week for Vacation Bible School. 6 o'clock roughly is when the first class will start. Well, after we do the little kids' songs and the puppet show, then class will start right after that. But you want to come for that, right? You want to come see the puppet show and hear the little kids' songs and learn the books of the Bible, because sometimes that's the only way we learn the books of the Bible is the songs. So come for all that. We're going to have visitors coming, and our greeters won't be here all week. They're not expected to be here every night. So if you get here a little early, or if you can, and you could come back and greet people as they're coming in, that would really help us out and make our guests feel welcome. We have greeters that are assigned each month, but whoever gets June, we don't say, you got to be here every night during the week for VBS. So if you can come and help with that. Your song sounded really good this morning. I forgot to tell you that. Isn't that a beautiful song? How deep the Father's love for us. And so I hope that song will be on your mind a lot this next week. And hopefully we'll get to sing that one again sometime. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 127 tonight. If you'd like to find that in your Bible. As we talk about being a dad and doing it right. It's not easy being a dad. There's a lot that goes with being a dad. And I want to show you what the Bible says tonight about being a father and raising children and that responsibility. And speaking of responsibility, that's the first point, is that being a dad is a big responsibility. You know, each child belongs first of all to God. And I think that's the key to being a good dad, is you have to understand that child is not yours. It belongs to God. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. So every child that's born is actually God's child. I know comedians have said over time, you know, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. You've heard that, I'm sure. But the truth is, God brings us into the world. And so a dad needs to realize each child that you have is actually the possession of God, and we're merely stewards of what God has given us. And so God appoints dads and moms to guide their children to moral excellence. Psalms 127 says in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. You most likely have heard verse 1 before. Lest the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Maybe you've heard that verse, and I wonder what kind of house he's talking about. Well, there may be other things he's talking about, but he is talking about the house, the family. The Lord needs to build the family. He needs to be in charge, and he needs to guide the family members through the father, as I'm going to show you. It's the father's responsibility to be the moral leader in his household. And so we have the children that are a gift of the Lord, it says in verse 3. And they're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. A warrior is not much good if he doesn't have any arrows. And he's saying, you want your quiver full. That means you want to have lots of kids. In our day and age, we're kind of encouraged not to have so many kids because of overpopulation. Listen, we need more Christian kids raised in Christian homes. So you want your quiver to be full. Young parents, don't be afraid to have kids. If you're going to raise them in a godly way, we need godly Christian children with godly parents raising them. And they are a blessing from God. God has given us opportunities as moms and dads to raise children in a godly way. Now, the father, let me focus on him. A father is responsible for leading his children by his own spiritual example. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll drop down to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I give you, or which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. The command here is to fathers, saying, you teach this to your sons and to your daughters. You teach them the Word of God, and you talk about the Word of God, and you also teach them not just in words, but by your example. Because by the example of the father, we can guide our children in the right way or in the wrong way. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. He doesn't say mothers. He says fathers. Fathers are the ones who's supposed to be instructing their children in the Lord. Now, I know a lot of times the mother winds up doing it by default because dads are not doing it. But if you are a father, the command is to you. You be the one to train up your child. And don't exasperate them. Don't frustrate your children. You bring them up in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it. How many of you have seen the movie Courageous? Have you seen that movie? Great movie. If you haven't seen that, get that. And guys, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, you may want to watch that someplace with the lights dim, because there may be tears trickling down your cheek, and if you're a little embarrassed about crying in front of somebody, you may want to watch that in a very private place. But that is a powerful movie. Well done. The acting's not the greatest, I'll tell you that, but very well written, and it's about the importance of a father. And what that movie really brings out is that the number one determiner of degeneracy in our nation is fatherlessness. Now, that's a statistical fact. They found out the number one determiner of degeneracy among our youth is when there's not a father figure in the home. Being a father is so important, so crucial, and the scriptures bear that same idea out. We need good fathers. Being a dad means having authority. Let's talk a little bit about that. Authority is the power of judicial decisions, the power of influence, and the right or the privilege. Now, we know ultimately God, of course, has full authority. Psalms 83:18 says, let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. And then Psalms 47, verse 2 says, how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over the earth. Psalms 115, verse 3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And so God has all authority, and because of that, he's the only one who has the right to apportion that authority, and he does so. Romans chapter 13, if you can look at that one with me. Romans 13, and we're going to be all over the Bible, so get your fingers warmed up here. God has all authority. He can apportion that authority to whoever he chooses. And Romans 13, which we normally use talking about the judicial system, but definitely applies in this situation, says in verse 1 of chapter 13, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So every family has an authority in that family, and God says, men, rise up and you be the man of the household. You're the one that I'm giving that authority to. God gives us authority. Only God can apportion this authority. And children need to honor the authority of their fathers. And fathers need to not take advantage of or abuse the authority that they've been given. Leviticus 20 and verse 9 says, if anyone curses his father and mother, he must be put to death. You may recognize that verse. That's used in Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, where Jesus is explaining Korban. Remember that passage and talking about traditions? But that verse is in the Bible. If anyone curses his father and mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father and mother, and his blood will be on his own head. In the book of Ephesians, a little to the right there, right after Galatians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, I mentioned this verse just a little while ago. Let's look at it together in verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so a father has the authority to raise godly children, but he has commanded here, you do so in a way that you don't exasperate your child. Do it in such a way you don't provoke them to be angry. You're trying to bring out the best, not the worst in your child. And each child's a little different. Have you noticed that? We've had three, and they're three opposites, if that's possible. Each child is different. You have to figure out how they respond, but lead them, guide them as fathers in the way that they should go. All right. Point C, dads are conflict resolvers. That's what they're supposed to do in the home. Dads are conflict resolvers. The dad is the head of the household. Look at verse 21 of Ephesians 5. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, I want to pause there because that verse is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. People read this, be subject to one another, and I heard this interpreted that, well, husbands need to submit to the wives, and the wives submit to the husbands, and that's the way it works. Well, the whole rest of the passage doesn't make sense if that's what that verse is saying. What he's saying is everybody is in submission to somebody. Be subject to one another. Know where you're at and what you're supposed to do. But to subject yourself or submit means to place yourself under the authority of another. So if you have husbands trying to submit to the wives and the wives trying to submit to the husband, no decision's going to get made. It's like a young couple going out on a date, and they get out on the date, and what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I want to do what you want to do. Oh, well, I want to do what you want to do. And by the end of the night, they haven't done nothing, okay? It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to step up and say, Friday night, we're going to the movies and we're going to go to dinner. Would you like to go? And God says, men, you be the ones that do that. You be the ones to step up. That's what it means to be in submission to someone, is to willingly say, I place myself under your authority. Jesus the Son is in submission to God the Father. It doesn't mean he's less important than God the Father. But Jesus willingly says, I submit myself to the authority of the Father. And that's what a wife is supposed to do to the husband. And that's what the children are supposed to do as well. So the father is in that responsibility of being an authority. And he's the conflict resolver. He's responsible for maintaining discipline in the home. Let's go back to Proverbs here. And we'll be in Proverbs a lot the rest of this sermon. So find where it is. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 13, says, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." Sheol's a word for death or the grave. This is a command to discipline a child. And yes, it's corporeal discipline. It's physical discipline, which is not wrong if it's done in love. I know it can be done wrong. I watched this special on TV a couple of years ago. I don't remember when it was, but and it was on one of those channels like National Geographic or History Channel that's very evolutionary and very anti-Christian in its agenda. And they actually talked this family into setting up cameras in their home, filming them as they were disciplined. And though that couple, that mom and dad, were the worst examples of discipliners I'd ever seen. I mean, if they had a horrible temper, the parents did. And it's no wonder the kids were out of control and they just run around and whacking them. And that's not at all what the scripture is talking about. Fathers never discipline out of anger. Discipline out of love. If you're getting ready to discipline your child and you feel that anger swelling up inside of you, take a time out. You go in the other room. Bring yourself back down and come in and discipline your child out of love, never out of anger. But the father's job, he is to be the conflict resolver. And I'll guarantee you that belt will resolve some conflicts, okay? When I was young and I decided to lip off to my mother, which I did once in a while, all mom had to say was, "Your dad will be home later." And I knew what that meant. Did you ever play that game on the playground, "My dad's bigger than your dad"? My dad was 6'2 and weighed 260. So when the other kids would say, "My dad's bigger than your dad," I'd say, "I doubt it. I really doubt it." When dad came in and that belt was jingling, I knew we were going to resolve a conflict, and I was the conflict. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I love my dad for doing that. I'm not saying he always did it right, but I'm glad he didn't give in to that pressure that, oh, you can't touch a child. We don't want to hurt them in some way. It didn't hurt me at all to have my little fanny tanned a couple of times. Nothing wrong with that. That's the father's job, is to resolve conflict in the home, but the father can't do that if he's not in the home. Fathers need to be in the home. My brother, I only have one brother. His name's John. He lives up in Colorado. And he is a songwriter, not professionally, but he's written some songs. He's put out some CDs. And he has a song he wrote called "Games Children Play." And I want to read you the first chorus, verse and the chorus of his song. "It was a brief introspection from a scattered collection of childhood memories that came to my mind. As I watched from a distance for one fleeting instance, I felt my awareness was frozen in time. I saw on the playground in the heart of a small town two parents, three children, a family at play. It looked so amazing, I found myself gazing at a sight that is not all that common today. For the fathers are oftentimes farther away. The mothers aren't home because they're working today. There's a number of issues that come into play, and it's leaving our lives in complete disarray. What games are the children to play? We rarely see families together. We're so going here and there with all sorts of activities. And it's not just parents that are busy. It's kids that are crazy busy because they got to be in everything. And families together playing in the playground is such a rare sight that if you see it, you're like, wow, there's a family that's playing together, that's doing something together. Seeing a family be together in the restaurant where the whole family's together, mom, dad, and the kids, that's kind of a rare sight. And if you do see them, they're on cell phones. Yeah, we just don't have that continuity like we used to have. And I'm saying, fathers, you need to be the one to step up and say, let's resolve this conflict. We're involved in way too many things. Let's cut the schedule. Let's get back to being mom, dad, and the kids. If you are willing to do that, my last point is God rewards good dads. The actions of the father actually do have an effect on the child. Let's go over to Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 21. This is real similar to Ephesians 6:4, but Colossians, Paul states a little bit different. He says in 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. I mean, that verse alone shows us, fathers, you have an impact on your kids. If you raise more than one child, sometimes that second child, you try to influence them. By the third child, you're thinking, they're just going to raise themselves anyway. I'm not making any difference in their lives. You actually are. You just don't realize it. Your dad had an influence on your life, good or bad, whatever it might be. If you think about it, dads make a difference in the lives of their children, whether you're male or female. Dads make an impact on lives. Now let's go back to Proverbs again, this time to chapter 17. I really want you to see these scriptures, and that's why I'm taking the time to look at them, because the Bible says a lot about the importance of being a good dad. And God rewards good fathers. We take the action with our children to raise them in the right way, and it does make an impact on their lives. Proverbs 17, let's look at verse 21. He who sires a fool does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Now, that's stated in a very negative way, but I want you to see the father impacts the child. And you can raise a fool, and you're going to have no joy, and you're going to have no good feeling about that. But you are impacting a child. Now, let's look at the other side. When a father does his job right, the fruit will be seen in his sons and his daughters. We've already talked about Proverbs 22:6, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Look at chapter 29 of Proverbs. The rod, there it is again, the discipline, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. We're going for as parents happy and obedient children. And that is a reward to the family. Look at verse 17. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Go back to chapter 10 of Proverbs. Chapter 10 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, But a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And then chapter 23 of Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. You do make a difference, dads. You do impact your children. And your children are looking to you, be it a daughter or a son, they're looking to you for spiritual guidance. Don't put that on your wife. You be the one to say, we're going to church. You be the one to say, we're going to have a family night, and we're going to get our Bibles out, and we're going to read the Bible together. We're going to shut off the TV, and we're going to shut off the phones, and we're going to shut off the video games. We're going to get the Word of God out, and we're going to sing together, and we're going to read the Word together. And we're going to grow closer to one another. And I want to teach you the values that have shaped my life. And the best thing you can do as a father is to show your children how much you love the Lord and how much you love His Word. That's all I have to share with you tonight. I hope these things have been a blessing to you. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. We're going to sing our song of invitation here in a moment, the one that was just announced. If there's something that's on your heart, please come as we stand and sing.